Blog Talk Radio.
From the great state of Texas in beautiful downtown Honey Grove, it's The Richard Show. This is Richard Davey, your host, and we're starting a new segment this week that each week what I want to do is introduce a new concept, a new thought, you know, kind of open your mind and help you to see your world differently and maybe clearer. You know, I talk in subjects such as this because I want people to be informed on what's going on in their own lives. Half the time we go through life just kind of drifting through and not really understanding a lot of what's going on around us or why. So that's really the nature of the show. We try to answer the why question and hopefully entertain you along the way and inform you so that it better equips you for life. You know, I mean, life is tough, and if you don't understand it, in my opinion, it's even tougher. So we talk about politics, we talk about religion, we talk about philosophical issues and thoughts, and we try to give you a variety, including music, one of my favorites. And so today we start with the rise of the titans of industry. The story, the kind of backstory is the Rockefeller family, which would become one of the biggest, strongest families in this country and perhaps in the world. But, you know, they certainly had influence throughout the world for sure. But it all began here in America and with oil. Today we would call the oligarchy because it's made up of several very powerful families in the world that we live in today. Throughout Europe, the Netherlands, and America, these people make decisions in secret groups and meetings, which we'll be discussing in future shows. And one of the things that I find intriguing is that these people have created a world that you and I live in that we barely ever connect with and really understand what the why. And who's doing this and why they did it and the kind of the backstory, so to speak. So today we're going to begin the rise of the titans of industry. The story begins with William Avery Rockefeller, a very handsome man by all accounts, albeit deceptive and quite crafty. It was 1849 where William Avery Rockefeller would be accused of rape, causing him, as some speculated, to leave Cayuga, New York, and move to Canada and change his name to Bill Livingston, leaving John D. to be raised by his mother, a religious woman. And so he would go on, the backstory in that is he would have a family here in the United States in upstate New York, where I'm from, not too far from where I lived, actually, Cayuga, New York. And the bottom line is he would have a family of four there. There was three other siblings besides John D. And then get caught messing around, and he ended up leaving and running off to Canada. Well, while in Canada, he meets another woman. And then on a third attempt, he also has, that is another relationship that he has up in that area, he has a third wife in there, a woman, and of course this is a bigamous type of marriage or arrangement. And he has three children, I believe it is, with her. So, you know, I mean, here's a guy that is not well-rooted and is on the road and doing things that we would probably object to, I hope, today, and suggest that that isn't, you know, a moral and certainly a good way to raise a family or influence others. But he does. This character, would be called Devil Bill, would do is he would go back to his families, the various families that he started, and influence those kids, teaching them the tricks of the trade, so to speak. So let me go on with the story. Later named Devil Bill, his motto would be, give people what they want. A snake oil salesman would be Devil Bill's occupation. His first product would be called Rock Oil. Get it? Rockefeller Oil. Okay. Later named Nugel, a laxative. And that actually was a product that John D. would later, with Standard Oil, would sell. So he kind of, you might say, learned the tricks of the trade from his dad and really the deception of selling. So as the story develops out and you get more on the Rockefeller family, you can understand what happened. I mean, even though he was raised by a religious mother, this guy was heavily influenced by a father that would occasionally show up and play tricks on the kids and really challenge them in a deceptive way to be deceptive. But his story is interesting, as he really is a snake oil salesman selling a product he called Rock Oil, proposed to cure cancer or any and all ills you might have, which would later become, Nujol, a product that John D. would use at Standard Oil. So William Rockefeller leaves the family in Cayuga, leaving John D., and I believe three other siblings, to be raised by his mother, a religious woman. However, even though William Rockefeller left and was removed to be in Canada with now another woman, he returns to his travels. He returns on his travels. And again, keep in mind, now this is several years removed. I mean, here's a guy that's on the road, and back then, I mean, it wasn't like jumping in your car and 2 hours later you're in another state or three or four, whatever the case may be. We're talking weeks in between and perhaps months because, you know, I mean, back then it was horse and buggy. And, you know, it kind of conjures up this idea of the traveling salesman, as we tend to look at them, and the snake oil salesmen that are, you know, are vagabonds. They're in a, you know, in a group or on their own for many, many weeks and months and living on the road, man. I mean, it's not the kind of lifestyle that you would think would. Back in that time, that's what men did. They did whatever they had to do to make a living, in his case, for several families. So he would return on his travels from time to time and, you know, again, teach his kids the tricks of the trade. Devil Bill would later give the seed money to start Standard Oil, $1,000, which I think it was a David Rockefeller or his era of sons and lineage, which would come later, that would talk about the $1,000 and the 9%, you know, how the dad loaned John D. the money to get Standard Oil started, which is interesting because, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, $1,000 back in the day was a lot of money. It was probably, like, comparative to $1 million today. So that he wanted a return on his investment as well, which, you know, I think that's right. So often today we think everything should be free and we get accustomed to that. And I think there should be some work involved sometimes with whatever it is that we do. And we have to be careful. Charity's been, you know, confused, I think, in this country today and how we approach that. You know, I mean, our churches in a large way have failed us because we really don't understand what charity means. And I think that's something that we should pursue in future shows. Okay, so we'll leave that part of the story. 1870, John D. starts Standard Oil with seed money from Devil Bill, which he realizes that refining where the money is. So it's not the actual finding the oil and drilling for the oil that is really the money. The real money is made on the back end, if you will, or in the process, in the refining. And that's where John D., which actually is a numbers kind of guy, gets involved in that aspect of the business and realizes this is where the money's at. There's no doubt that finding those wells and owning those wells are important, but more importantly, getting the oil to flow, if you will, through the process is even more beneficial. So he realizes that the money is in the processing or refining and proceeds to buy up competition in Ohio and sometimes does it through other companies. And this is kind of the beginning of the deception, I think, when you really think about how we understand the world we live in. I mean, so often today there's subsidiaries of all these companies. Well, what are these subsidiaries doing? We see what the big guy's doing because that's very public, if you will. But oftentimes, we don't understand what the other companies that they own. And we find when we do find that out, we think that's kind of cool or whatever. But in reality, what was happening is he would buy these companies, these other smaller competitors out, and then buy other competitors through those companies. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to make sure that his public perception, because people, even back in the day, would talk and would be dismayed, if you will, about the rich guy. And even though I think that the rich guy is important to our lives because he's the guy that planned ahead and had the money in the event that things, you know, hit the fan and it was able to provide jobs and continue to buy things that allowed the economy to lurch along. And the bottom line is you really need to consider that the rich guy is an important part of our world and really is a blessing. Because he's the guy that saw ahead and did things that were unconventional. So he continues to buy these things, and as it would happen, he understands it that by doing that, he's able to control more of that industry, which then becomes a problem, and in walks Ida Tarbell. Now, how would you like a name like that? In the oil business, I suppose it's apropos, right? One of his big critics was a lady named Ida Tarbell. Her father would be crushed. In other words, this is during the time that the Titan was on his rise and John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil, and he was out destroying, really, competition. And really, that's kind of where we got our business around today and how we should behave. And that isn't right at all, not even close. In fact, as Christians, we should be looking at opportunity of competition, learning from them, and perhaps joining them in some way to promote our own businesses and our industries. Because the more involved, the more exposure, right? So she would go on, Ida Tarbell would go on to expose or keep people in the news on what's going on behind the scenes and educate them, if you will, and bring attention to the issue of what's going on with large corporations during that time, and especially John D. because her father was hurt by him, and Standard Oil. So in 1910, the U.S. Supreme Court takes up the matter and breaks up Standard Oil, which, as we know today, like the Philip Morris Company, the cigarette guys, if you remember those, I followed that during the, I think it was the 80s, 70s, 80s when Philip, I think it was 80s actually, when the Philip Morris Company was broken up. And what was interesting is that by breaking them up, the smaller companies, the smaller pieces of the whole, if you will, were worth more than the whole. And that's an interesting concept when you think about it. So So the U.S. Supreme Court breaks them up. That becomes a great thing for the Rockefeller family and for Rockefeller because it just makes them even more wealthy and really, you know, more powerful in many ways. Had the opposite effect of what you would expect at the time. A bit about the Sherman Antitrust Act. That was an act that supposedly led up to prevent, and this is from the U.S. government, that would prevent monopolies like this to happen. However, it did quite the opposite. It acted as it's actually a misnomer, as it actually encouraged tariffs and benefited the ones at the top. Well, that's it for part one, and I look forward to seeing you next week where we will continue to talk about the rise of the oligarchy and the titans of industry. I hope you have a great day, and look forward to seeing you next week. Have a blessed day.